Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the will of God. A tremendous subject and a tremendous stumbling block to so many Christians. And it's one with which I certainly have struggled all of my life. I would hope that I've learned a few things that make it a little bit easier for me to accept the will of God. I've had so many thousands of proofs that God never fails us, never forsakes us, always does the best thing. And yet, you know what I mean. Again and again, we hope against hope that our will be done. But the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer called by some the Our Father, has this phrase, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A listener wrote, could you please explain what you mean by taking up the cross and dying to self? Well, that's exactly what this means. Thy will be done, not my will be done. I can't think of a simpler explanation of what it means to take up the cross. To say no to myself is the prerequisite, isn't it? If I'm going to learn to lay my will alongside the will of God, asking that He will harmonize my will with His, that He will conform me to the image of Christ, then it takes a laying down, a denial of myself. Lord, I give you myself, and I want you to give me your life, yourself, your will. So the two things are, first of all, the denial, and secondly, the acceptance. The denial of my own will, the acceptance of God's. Taking up the cross means, first, dying to myself, denying my own will, saying no to myself, and taking up the cross means yes to God. I don't think I know a simpler way to explain, to answer the listener's question, please explain what you mean by taking up the cross and dying to self. Now, when we look at Christian history, it looks glorious in retrospect. We know the great events of Christian history, and we read the marvelous victories and the miracles of the Bible. But remember that the victories and the miracles and the triumphs are not the whole story. Christian history is made up of constant hard choices and unattractive tasks. Hard choices and unattractive tasks. Now, I will confess that I don't find it as hard to sit in my study at my typewriter and prepare my talks for the radio. But I dread the days when I have to record. It's an unwelcome task in a way. And yet, I want to learn to do the thing gladly. And so this morning I did thank the Lord for the job. And we thank the Lord again here in the studio. The engineer Brent is here and Jan is here. And we prayed together and we thank the Lord for the privilege of doing what we have to do. But it takes hard work. Constant hard choices and unattractive tasks. Jesus has always led the way. The life of Jesus here on earth is filled with lessons for us, models, paradigms, examples, of the way we're to do things. If you're in a tight place today, if you're perplexed about how to do something or what to do, look at the life of Jesus. You may find some analogy there. Jesus, we assume, was a carpenter. He was known as the carpenter's son, and we can only assume that the years up until he was 30 years old were probably spent in the carpenter shop with his earthly father, Joseph. Then he became an itinerant preacher, a victim of local politics, and in all of these various changes in his life, don't you suppose that there were some hard choices and some unattractive tasks, things from which his ordinary human flesh would have shrunk, things which he certainly would not have chosen? For a carpenter to make a beautiful piece of furniture, there has to be a lot of hard work, sawing and planing and sanding and fitting and cutting and polishing. It's no good saying, well, I don't want to do the sawing and the planing and the sanding and the fitting and the cutting and the polishing. I just want to make a beautiful piece of furniture. There isn't any other way to do it, is there? Stephen, we're told, was a man full of the Holy Spirit and power, a man who was snatched up in the splendor of his faith to God, stoned to death, remember? And then there was the Apostle Paul, Hebrew of the Hebrews, a man so zealous that he was glad to see Christians killed until God completely turned his life around. And Paul had to eat his own words. He became suspect by those who had known him before. He became very unpopular. This was what God's will involved. He was overwhelmed with natural reluctance and desire. He writes about those things. And yet, this was the will of God. Thy will be done. If you look at Paul's life, I don't think you're going to find there a whole lot of room for ambition and self-love. His work was exhausting. It was dangerous. It was disappointing. You remember the stories of the shipwreck? Remember the imprisonments? Nakedness, flogging, hunger, shipwreck, great unpopularity for a man who had it all going for him before he became a Christian. This is what the cross means, a willingness to take whatever conditions are necessary in the path of obedience. I'll read that again. This is what the cross means, the willingness to take whatever conditions are necessary in the path of obedience. Letting go our preferences. In marriage, if we're not willing to let go our preferences, we're going to be in big trouble, aren't we? It's a great eye-opener. It's a revelation when we get married to discover how many different ways there are of doing things when we thought there was only one. And we may have to give in on a good many of those things. In a job, you must let go your preferences. In church, I happen to belong to a church which was split because of the architecture of the new building. Now, can you imagine leaving a church because you didn't like what the architect was doing with the new building? It takes my breath away. What a triviality compared to what is at stake. What is the church? It's not the building. It's not the spire. It's not the cushions on the seats. And incidentally, we don't have any cushions on our seats here in Massachusetts. I always notice when I go in the South that most of those churches have some pretty cushy seats. Letting go our preferences, accepting place. Do I accept my place in my marriage? You men, have you accepted the fact that God has assigned you to be the head of the house and that it is your job to love your wife as Christ loved the church? Probably some of you have never accepted that place. You don't really feel comfortable being the authority and the head of the house. Not the boss, not the tyrant, but the head as Christ was head. You women, have you accepted your place as a subjective one? Subject submissive to your husband? In your job, unless you're the chief executive officer, have you accepted your place? Maybe some of you who are chief executive officers wish that you weren't. You find out that there's a lot that goes along with the job that you hadn't really thought about before. Your place in the church. The willingness to accept criticism. Rumors. You wouldn't believe some of the rumors that people write to me about that they've heard. If I repeated them on the air, then of course they would be spread that much wider, and somebody would not hear the fact that it's a rumor, and they would say, well, this is what happened, and Elizabeth Elliot said so herself on the air, so you can be sure I'm not going to tell you what these rumors are. I try to correct them if it's possible, but it isn't always possible. But part of the business of taking up the cross and dying to myself is going on in peace when things like that happen. Is your life one that's under scrutiny, such as a pastor's life? Is it full of the inconveniences of motherhood, of a busy, visible, even heroic life once that has had to be turned into a hidden life? If you're thinking to yourself, what is the good of this? My answer is, God is. God is the good of it. Evelyn Underhill said, if we could pierce the veil and were alert and attentive, God would show himself to us without ceasing, and we should realize his action in all that happens to us. It is the Lord, and we should find in every circumstance that we had received a gift from God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.